Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You should celebrate yourself every day. But some days, you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
I think one of the really cool developments that I've gotten to witness over the last 11 years of motherhood is seeing how the conversation about so-called working motherhood has shifted. I think when I became a mom, and frankly, right before Jill Koziel and I started Motherly, in the air was this conversation about conflict and the mommy wars. I remember in those early days of motherhood feeling like I couldn't do it all, this cultural conversation that felt so imposed on me. And so I entered motherhood and working motherhood with an assumption that it was going to be too difficult or too incompatible. And in a way, I've watched over the last decade the conversation really shift. And I think working motherhood, thankfully, become much less one-dimensional and more empathetic and centered on the real trade-offs and burdens and dreams that working parents, working moms, and all moms have. And what I'm glad about that has changed is our judgment and our imposition on women who are already carrying this heavy load of our cultural baggage around work and motherhood, to one that I hope is way more supportive and way more full of what is possible for you in your various seasons of life, without judgment, without shame, and hopefully more support and resources and opportunities than ever before. Hey, Mama, welcome to the Motherly Podcast, where we have honest conversations about modern motherhood. I'm Liz Tennedy. I'm a co-founder here at Motherly, and I'm also a mother of five kids myself. Today's guest is Allison Robinson. Allison is the founder of The Mom Project, which is a digital talent platform really designed to help moms re-enter the workforce or to stay in the workforce through flexible employment opportunities. In our conversation, we'll talk about Allison's personal journey with the complexities of working motherhood and her experience with burnout as a startup founder. And we also talk about everything she's doing at The Mom Project to show employers, frankly, the incredible business opportunities of working with and hiring mothers. Allison Robinson, welcome to the Motherly Podcast.
So happy to be here, Liz. Thank you for having me.
So here's the question I always like to kick things off with, which is, what surprised you about motherhood?
Oh, such a great question. I think this tension of it's like the most rewarding, beautiful experience, and also it's just hard. And the dichotomy of the two that, you know, often the things in life that are most kind of worthwhile, you have to work the hardest for. And I think that's certainly true of motherhood.
I want to talk about all of that in motherhood, but especially working motherhood. So paint a picture of what you thought working motherhood would be like before you became a mom.
I don't think I ever really had a picture in my mind so much, Liz. My mother had taken a step out of the workforce to raise me and my brother and sister. And my sister, she did the same. She's 12 years older than me, so she's quite a bit older. She has 8 children. So like I had seen mother as like full-time caregiver running the household. And so I didn't have too many people very close to me who were working mothers showing me what that looked like. But I knew that even when I was younger, probably in my early 20s, like you can't have it all because I always wanted a big family. And I was just not seeing how that would work alongside building a career. The women more senior in the ranks where I worked at P&G, I remember like often they had a partner that was staying home helping take care of the children. So that was kind of my glimpse into what it was like to be in a very demanding career while also being a mother. It would require sort of a lot of support structure around you.
That is so interesting that you, the sort of like uber working mother now, didn't necessarily have people in your lives who were balancing the obligations and responsibilities of motherhood with a professional life. Because my mom worked, and actually both of my grandmothers worked to support their family. So I do feel like I'm walking in their footprints in a way.
That's so interesting. I think because the path was not well defined for me, it's given me a lot of creative license to do it in a way that really works. And frankly, like in many ways, unconventional, because those sort of standards had not been set. So I've been able to kind of build them as I go.
Oh, I love that. Okay. So let's talk about what you've built. You were working in the baby space and you had this idea for a concept that, well, has changed many people's lives, millions of lives already at the Mom Project. Tell us about where this idea, where this concept came from.
So I was at P&G. I'd spent my whole kind of working career prior to starting the Mom Project there. And in my most recent role, I was working on the Pampers brand. And I was just so in love with that job. I got to meet with moms from all over the country and just hear about them. And I just never wanted to stop these conversations. And it just really led me to these insights that these women are so incredible. They feel like often their voices aren't heard, like they live more isolated lives than they would like. Many of them so focused on raising their children the best that they could. And I just found these women to be so inspiring. And at the time, digital was just growing so fast. And the adoption was having such dramatic impact on the way that moms were living. And so I just found this combination of this rapid shift in consumer behavior with this demographic that I just felt so connected with. I had recently been promoted and found out I was pregnant probably within like a 2-week kind of period, which left a lot of emotions with me. And as I mentioned, I didn't have a lot of role models who had done career as well as family. So I really leaned on my boss at the time. She was a working mom of two, and she told me to take a 3-month maternity leave. And so I just trusted her implicitly. And then she went and got promoted while I was away, had a new manager, and they ended up backfilling the role and asked me to spend another 3 months at home. And so it gave me a lot of time to think about what I really wanted to do next without kind of the rush of having to get back to work and find childcare. And it was during that period that I read that over 40% of American women leave the workforce after having children. And I just envisioned that I would very well be part of that stat. And I just knew that these women were so talented, had so much to offer. And if we could build a marketplace to help them find really meaningful work that could work for them and their family, that had the potential to unlock a lot of potential, both for these women and their families and the greater economy.
So you had this idea for the Mom Project, what, 8 years ago?
Coming up on 8 years. My son just turned 8. So yeah.
So in a lot of ways, you were ahead of this curve just because as a new mom, I think one of the interesting things about new mothers as entrepreneurs and innovators is that we experience all the crises of our culture through our daily lives. And you were sort of this first of this digital wave of new moms to say this working space around motherhood is really broken. And now we all live through this pandemic, remote work transformation. So tell us what exactly the Mom Project is, and what are some of those trends that you identified 8 years ago, and where do they stand now as it relates to working motherhood?
Yeah, exactly. And that work sort of category just felt so underserved because I had seen the strength and the pure size of mothers working on the Pampers brand and P&G, most consumer brands are really focused on attracting moms. They control trillions of spend a year. And so they're just such a critical segment. I would say some of the trends that we saw then and how they've evolved over time. You know, I think we've seen what's held really steady is what mothers are looking for in terms of work opportunity.
What are moms looking for that they're not currently getting in the marketplace?
We have a research arm that's led by Dr. Cohen. She's worked with me since the beginning. And so I had brought her on to help me take a very research-backed approach to solving this problem. And so what's held up is what moms are really looking for. And number one is flexibility. That's probably no surprise to you, Liz. We're both fortunate taking this interview today in our homes. And that has only been accelerated after the pandemic. And so many people who maybe didn't have that exposure to flexibility and seeing like the life moments that's unlocked for them and being able to pick up their kids from school, drop them off, just like be part of more of those critical life events and kind of more harmoniously create a schedule around work and family that works for you. So flexibility is paramount. I think often people hear flexibility, and when I pitch the mom project, they kind of assume these are women coming back to the workforce after having taken 5, 10, 15 years off. That's absolutely not the case at all. That is a really important segment of the users that we serve, but many new moms or moms who have been on this working motherhood journey 5-10 years who are just saying something's got to give. I can't be going into the office every day, wasting 2 hours to a commute. And so flexibility we found just comes in so many variations. Yes, while physical location and the ability to work in a more distributed fashion is really key, the things that moms are most looking for when it comes to flexibility is the ability to work autonomously. And trust me that I will get the work done, but allow me to do so on my own schedule. I'll be a highly productive employee, but give me the space to be able to do that in a way that's most effective for me. So I think that's held pretty constant, but with so many moms getting to work that way during the pandemic, their willingness to work any other way has definitely subsided. And they will hold out longer if financially possible to find an opportunity that will really give them that. And then number two is respect. And we say at the Mom Project, respect underpins everything. In a culture, in an employer-employee relationship, it underpins flexibility policy. So many women tell us, my company says that we can work remotely, but when all the men are back in the office, in the meeting room, getting the FaceTime with management, I don't feel supported that I can advance in my career here. Or it could mean having a parental leave policy, but you feel guilty about taking advantage of it. So really respect for you as an individual and having leaders that really respect your obligations outside of the workplace is so, so key. And then number three, fair pay and good benefits is really the third thing that women are looking for with roles. We've seen a lot of innovation in the family care space, which is really exciting, especially over the last 3-4 years. So when I started the business about 8 years ago, people were asking, what's your paid parental leave? And companies usually have a policy, but we help them strengthen that policy. And I've been excited about more recent benefits like surrogacy, adoption, IVF, time off for miscarriage, or so many women are also balancing helping take care of their parents or a partner's parents. So time off for caregiving needs overall. So all of kind of this additional time that really nods to you are a human, you have a really important life outside of here. And so we really respect that time and we want to support you having that precious time with your family and your loved ones when it matters most.
So you talked quite a bit here, importantly, about what moms want and need from work that they're not getting now. And you've also alluded to the strength of moms. And I'm wondering if you could give us the pitch that you give to the corporate side, meaning you aren't just doing moms a favor by being flexible and family friendly and respectful. Mothers are an educational and professional powerhouse in our culture, especially now. In fact, now more than ever. So pretend that I'm, you know, a person that you're making that pitch to, not just about do the right thing, but about, hey, this is actually good for your bottom line. If you want top talent, working in this manner is what it's going to take to succeed in the 21st century.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Oh, I love that. Absolutely. I'll pitch you, Liz.
Let's do it. I want to hear it.
One of the things that drove me crazy as I was starting the business and pitching investors, which you probably can relate to, was this sort of false presumption that moms were a niche. And so I felt a large need to educate the market on how that is so false. 86% of women in the U.S. will be mothers by the age of 44. So it represents the vast majority of their female labor force. And then when you kind of layer on demographic trends, we know that's only continuing to accelerate. So really painting the picture that this is a must-win target for you to succeed with women and to succeed with your workforce strategy at large. And then, yes, it is all about how the Mom Project's been able to unearth this gold mine, as you said, of incredible talent. I mean, it's staggering. These women are so incredibly educated, accomplished, and when given the right opportunity, the productivity, the loyalty gains an employer sees as a result is just, I mean, really a testament to why 8 years later, we're still around because these moms are incredible. And we take a research data-backed way to be able to demonstrate that. And so we survey our customers constantly about their happiness, the quality with the moms that they've hired through the Mom Project. And consistently, they tell us that our moms are more productive. They lead to better cultures than any talent that they find through other vehicles, such as LinkedIn, staffing, recruitment agencies. I have so many customers tell me the best hire I've ever made has been through the Mom Project. Jane has joined as a 30-hour part-time CFO, and she just crushes it. She crushes it. And that's just so validating, especially we have a better window in the small businesses we serve because they're small kind of organisms. And so every hire, you really can feel that. And that business owner can really see the result of every hire. And there's customers where, just for an example, we've placed a COO that they hired through the platform. And then that mom, she hires her team through the Mom Project. And it's just like this really cool thing of so many moms supporting other moms because they totally get it. Moms do not need to be convinced, right? Why we make such incredible employees. So we really try to lean heavy into why moms is good for business, especially in the current climate. Many companies in the economic environment have been going through cost saving measures. And so every dollar matters. And so it's really important for us to convey that moms will yield a great return on that precious investment.
You know, when I first became a mom and first became a working mom, I remember in new working motherhood, I had a productivity that couldn't match anything I'd ever experienced in my before life as a worker, as a human, as a professional with ambitions before motherhood. And to articulate what it felt like, I just knew my time was newly precious. I had to do the job as effectively as possible. I had to earn as much money as possible because I had to pay to work. I don't see it framed that way as frequently as I think it should be, right? I pay money to work. And so all of these economic trends intersecting. And so we've seen in our own lives, we've seen with the moms that we serve, how motherhood is a catalyst for impact at work. It's a motivator and it's a really positive force. And yet we both know the incredible amount of implicit bias against women and mothers. And frankly, living through right now, this kind of, all right, it's time to get back to the old ways of doing things. It's time for the real work to happen now back in the office. We know how amazing moms are and that there is still this gap. And I'm imagining that there are listeners hearing this and saying, yeah, that gap is me right now. I've been working remotely for years and now my company is saying, you have to go back in the office. You have to be here 3 days a week. So what do you want to say to those listeners who are trying to navigate a culture that maybe newly doesn't feel welcoming to their needs as a working mom, strategies perhaps to navigate that, or other resources available to find ways of working and opportunities that meet the needs of a modern mother?
Absolutely. And I do think it's helpful to keep in mind, in many ways, this problem feels somewhat uniquely American, not to say that this issue doesn't persist everywhere, but I think the toll or the sacrifices we ask mothers in the U.S. to make compared to other countries feels very pronounced. I was with a woman this weekend from Luxembourg, and there's just this sense of they feel sorry for us. They're telling me about their universal high-quality pre-K and how affordable childcare is, and culturally, just these more egalitarian partnerships. And I continue to be optimistic that we'll see some rising tides in policy that will help alleviate some of this burden that so many women feel, whether it be better investment in childcare as an infrastructure, which I believe it really is infrastructure, or finally, hopefully in my tenure here, we'll see universal paid family leave. But for that woman who feels like she's part of this gap, remember that this is hard. I think is number one. This is hard. It should not be this hard for you to have meaningful ways to earn income and take care of your children and prioritize your family. And I think give yourself grace. That's always one of my first pieces of advice when I'm speaking to moms on our platform who I meet with who just feel discouraged. And it may just give yourself grace. I think as you all have seen at Motherly and have done such a beautiful job building community, like community is so important when you're going through this journey. So really leaning on people that you can rely on. At the Mom Project, we have programs like Rally, where we connect mothers who are users with other mothers who can help them in their career, whether it be building out their resume or mock interviewing or just giving that boost of confidence. I would say genuinely find mentors that can help you through the experience. And then I would say, know that so many companies really will value you and the incredible skills. So to the extent you're able, hold out for the right one. It helps to do a lot of research on companies and their policies. And as you're being interviewed, interview them on the things that really matter that they're not going to be publicizing on their company site. And then I think really narrowing down your search. I've seen people cast a very wide net or get very surgical in the industry that they want to work with. And they really know what they need on their side. And I see that tends to work better. So those are a few of my tips. I think in the current market, we're seeing, unfortunately, kind of a backslide in remote work and more competition for that remote work, which we're trying to offset at the Mom Project. We're seeing more adoption still with small businesses than larger companies, but everything is a negotiation. And so if that company really wants to hire you, advocate for what you need from day one. That's my personal advice. I think it's best to enter new partnerships with really clear expectations on both sides rather than taking a job that maybe, you don't feel good about the schedule and trying to negotiate for it later. my personal advice is to go in with eyes wide open with mutual expectations.
Some really good advice for moms in the middle of this cultural transformation and certainly this economic moment. I'm also curious about moms who have been unemployed, out of the workforce, or maybe underemployed in some way and are thinking, okay, back to school, I'm getting my life back, I'm going to go back to work. And frankly, I'm in tons of moms groups on Facebook, and I see every day women looking for advice about how to get back into the workforce and how to frame their experience as that full-time stay-at-home mom in a way that conveys how challenging and demanding that job is. So what do you do at the Mom Project to help those who've been out of the workforce for some time? And what advice do you have to listeners who may be in that situation?
This is such an important part of why I started the company. I thought about my mom, and she never took that leap to get back to the workforce as much as she wanted to, because she simply didn't have the confidence to think that anybody would want to hire her. So at the Mom Project, we really think a lot about how we can make that transition back more successful for women. My advice would probably vary a bit depending on how long your time out of the paid workforce has been. But I would say kind of universally, really build out your professional identity. At the Mom Project, we have a feature when you're creating an account and a profile with us called Resume Rev. And we actually term that time away from the paid workforce as something to be proud of, a badge of honor, because you're out there doing incredible work. And I think it's really helpful just to own that. And a good employer will see that you're taking time away from the paid workforce to raise the next generation. And I think that's something really I want women to feel empowered to speak to with confidence, and how that sharpened both their hard skills and their soft skills that will transfer into the job market. So I think a really great resume is key as a starting point and really building out your professional identity, whether that be on LinkedIn. So when people get introduced to you, they can clearly go see your background and learn about you a bit more. From there, I think it's really important, as I said, to have a very targeted strategy. So think about the job that you're in today. And we help women do this a lot because we see so many skills are transferable. And so we actually have a 501c3 through the Mom Project. It's called Rise, where we're helping women upskill. So you probably wouldn't be surprised if I told you teachers make excellent customer success managers, because they're so patient and focused on serving others and helping. And so we love helping women take their background and helping them understand, like, if you were in retail or fashion, and how that could translate really well into a job that has high probability of being able to work remotely, like in UX design. And that's been just an incredible program, because we see the income boost that these women can get doing these fully remote programs, whether it be in sales, cybersecurity, engineering, design. It's really meaningful. And then on the back end, we have, of course, thousands of companies that hire for us, that we can take these women's new skills and help them promote and find work through our platform. There's chapters to, like, getting ready, because as you said, getting your kids back to school, we often see our busiest month in the Mom Project is August, September.
Not surprised.
Right? Job number one is getting your family situation sorted, right? So whether that's getting your kids back to school or figuring out your childcare, what you reasonably can commit in terms of a work schedule, clearing the deck on all of that, so then you can really focus on the work that you want, is really critical. And a mentor can help ask you some of those hard questions and get you primed as you meet with prospective employers. And then finally, I would say, think about work agnostically. I've used the term quite a bit, employee, employer, but the reality is a lot of the work that we connect our community of moms with is more freelance in nature. And that can be a really great way just to start rebuilding your resume and getting relevant experience. We also see that women are driving a lot of the small business growth in the US. And so building career on their own terms and starting maybe with those in their network. We've got a new product coming at the Mom Project, which will help them generate their own customers. So I think just think more broadly about what work means to you and realize whether you want to work 1099, join a company as a full-time employee, part-time employee, strike on your own as a small business owner. There's just so many avenues. And I think the more you can talk to people and understand what some of your options are, that will help you get a fuller picture.
Oh, that's such good advice. And there's so much more. I feel like we could do a whole episode on the kind of gig work economy and moms, the full-time freelance life, the 1099-ification, the project-based work world. It's this other trend that's happening in work on top of this generation of moms being so highly educated, so accomplished as they come into motherhood. So I'm going to have to pause on that episode because I really want to talk a bit more about you and your own journey of working motherhood. So as you said, you basically became a mom and became the founder of the Mom Project at the same time. There are parts of, I'm sure, what your life has been like as a startup founder that are very similar to what the average working mom goes through. And there are parts of your life that are different. But I guess more broadly, can you tell us what being a working mom has been like for you over these 8 years? And if you look at them as different chapters, either in motherhood or in startup life, and how you define them now and how you see yourself now through that journey?
It's a bit of a hard question to answer because I don't know anything different of working motherhood because I never went back to P&G. And in some ways, I think, wow, if I had just done the job that I knew how to do there and just learned how to do it better and I grew that way, in so many ways, my life would have been a lot easier. But it certainly wouldn't have been as meaningful. I think those first few years, I just felt like I had something to prove. As I talked about, kind of investors who didn't see the merit. And so those first few years were really kind of just proving out that this could be a viable business. And it was such a necessary business. And what gave me wings was the women that I saw that we helped, because I knew the work was so meaningful. Even if it was challenging for me, I wanted to keep going because I knew that we needed to keep progressing this. So there were so many times I just felt like, oh my gosh, I can't do it. But truly, our community is what has kept me going. But it's been hard. I mean, it's been so hard. There's been different chapters. The early period, learning how to hire. I never hired before. And so really learning what it takes to build a really great team that can execute well. Fundraising, have spent my fair share of time on the road trying to convince investors why this would produce good returns. And that was just a really eye-opening, challenging experience. I think there's been aspects of the job that have given me so much joy. Like, I love being with customers and being in a seat to help influence a parental leave policy that could impact tens of thousands of people. And I love my team and being able to work on something that's so deeply meaningful. But there's been a lot of hard days, a lot of kind of anxiety. Last year, shortly after returning from maternity leave with my daughter, I remember just being in a dressing room preparing to leave her for the first time on a work trip and just breaking down. And so I ultimately ended up taking a sabbatical over the summer to help restore myself. And I had just been very depleted. And so I've been back in the business for about a year and thankfully doing so much better. I've gotten a lot of great support from my colleagues who are amazing. But it's really hard. And I just think everyone should know it is hard. Often the most meaningful, rewarding things are hard. And that's what I remind myself.
Thank you for being so candid and vulnerable with me, but also with our listeners, because I think it's important for people to know, first of all, that the founders of a company were real people. We have real feelings and often we don't really know what we're doing either. And we're kind of figuring it out along the way, which, by the way, is a note that that means your great business idea or vision of something you could build is totally possible for you as well. But that also you're really living what it means to be a working mom kind of at a velocity that, you know, I think a lot of working moms, maybe not at exactly your level, and of course not with exactly the same pressures, but a lot of people have challenging bosses and very demanding work lives. And I'm so happy to hear you talk about the sabbatical that you took. Honestly, I had a similar mind-bending moment where I was working a ton, wearing all the hats. I think I was in 4 different roles at the company that was supposed to be interim roles, but it ended up not being fully interim. And I also had a new baby. And I would have to text my babysitter when I would come down to the kitchen and I would say, like, go away, please, so the baby doesn't see me. Because if he saw me, he'd desperately want to nurse. So I'm like, take him to another room so I can go get food. And I just realized, while I 100% believe that there are seasons in life for pushing hard and growing things, whether that's pregnancy or starting a company or a new job, you don't have to live like that forever. And I'm like, here I am going back to my desk to help moms on this great mission. And I'm asking my babysitter to hide the baby. And by the way, I don't think there's really anything wrong with that, but it started to feel really misaligned from the way I actually wanted to live my day to day. And I remember on a walk, my husband had said to me, you don't have to keep running it day to day in the same way that you're doing now. You could hire someone to run the day to day. You could do some more strategic work. And I sort of had a vague sense that someday eventually I would get to that, but it helped me realize I can be very proud of what I've accomplished. I can hire great people to take the baton. That's how I feel like I passed the baton to someone who then took over that day-to-day operations, and I had some time to recover. I'm a human too, and I needed time to recover and to integrate what I've learned and to reimagine, just like you're working with the women on your platform, to reimagine what is possible for yourself in work. And so I'm really proud of the fact that at Motherly, my team and my co-founder, Jill Koziel, and just the culture, the board even, really supported me at that time and said, thank you, Liz, for what you've done to this point. And we're excited to help you pass the baton. And in a lot of ways, it's actually been, I think when I look back on my life, as painful as it was, as hard as it was, as stressful as it was, sort of a defining inflection point where I'm like, wait a minute, so many more things are possible for my life than the narrow achievement path that I thought I was on. Now I do a lot of freelance work and consulting and a wide variety of projects, including this great podcast. And I share all of that just to say that we've been there. We're not coming to you talking about working motherhood with Motherly and the Mom Project just because we study working motherhood, but because we've lived it and we feel the pain of other working moms who work with us and for us, and we don't have it all figured out. So to other moms who have been there, and for both of us now on the other side of that kind of breakdown moment, what advice do you have to get through that moment of burnout, of breakdown, and then of rebuilding what your career looks like after that?
Yeah. And thank you for sharing that story, Liz. That's so inspiring. And I can relate on so many levels. And often it's the people closest to us that see us for who we are and call us out, you know, when our lives are not living as aligned. I know my mom has gotten many calls from me over this journey, and she's been a patient therapist. I think my advice would be, number one, try not to let yourself get to the point that I did. Like, I was in such an unhealthy place of anxiety, had totally neglected my physical health. And I think I just wish that I could have been more open. I come from a family where we don't talk about our problems very much. And no one outside of my mom and my husband really knew. If I would have like enrolled others, like board members, teammates earlier on, that I'm not okay. I just think that I could have avoided getting there. I'm such a believer coming out of this and just like the importance of mental health. We offer Talkspace at the Mom Project, but we're seeing just so many women, moms particularly, suffering through anxiety and exhaustion. You really have to like invest in it. It's so important. And I think that has given me the clarity, because if I'm not in a good space, then that's going to impact everything. from how I show up for my kids, how I show up for my job. So really putting that at the center has been important. As you said, living a life that's really aligned with what you want. And I think that was how I'd reached my breaking point as well. So I think you constantly have to check yourself. And I know for so many women, they don't have other options, and ask for support, whether that's Mom Project or other amazing resources available. There are just a lot of incredible organizations that want to see you be successful in ways that will really work for you.
I'm curious what ways you've found, especially in the years since this experience of burnout, what have you found that helps fill you up, whether alone, which is perfectly fine, or with your kids?
Well, I know you had Marie Kondo on the podcast, right?
We did.
And I had the privilege of speaking with her as well. And I have to tell you, I really believe in her ethos. Living a more simple life has helped a lot in my journey of well-being, like just having less things. It would clutter my mind. And so when I had last summer off, frankly, like a lot of getting things in a way that I love spending time in my spaces, like that has brought me a lot of joy.
Your physical space. I love that. I love that. Totally.
That's been a really real way. I think walks, as I mentioned, I really neglected my health, and I started this ritual of taking long walks, which was really incredible. It's just something as simple as taking a walk and going to get coffee, or like building in this time for me, has helped so, so much. I got off social media, and I've been off for about 14 months. That personally for me has been great. I read news and whatnot, but I just found that it led to unhealthy habits for me. And trying to do a lot better job, even when I wasn't working, it was always in my head, like on Saturday, or I'd get a text from a colleague and it would just like trigger. It would kind of like open the floodgates. And so I've really been very intentional when I'm working, like put my best efforts into that. But when I'm with my family, really clearing that so I can be present rather than just physically being there.
I'm the exact same way. Well, thank you again for all your vulnerability and wisdom and willingness to share what you have gone through. So tell us about the future of the Mom Project. So where is the Mom Project going?
So in early 2021, we'd set in a goal for ourselves that we wanted to connect our community with $1 billion in economic opportunity. And so the way that we measure that is through the basically salaries or wages that we connect moms on our platform with, as well as the income gains that they see through our upskilling program. So we're rounding the corner. We're at about 800 million. And we expect to be at $1 billion, hopefully soon. And so I think for us, it's all about what is the next phase of impact look like? We've just learned a tremendous amount. And so I think what to expect from us next is continuing to grow thriving marketplace, connecting moms with jobs and employers, but also having a vision that's bigger than that and acknowledging that the way that moms want to work, particularly coming out of the pandemic, does look different. And so more kinds of work opportunities, more opportunities for flexible work, and then continuing to really harvest all the research and insights that we continue with over 1.2 million moms on the platform. We just think a lot about how we can better serve those up in a way that we can mobilize change, whether it be policy change, what have you. So I think for us, the next scale just feels like more impact. We've got so many more moms on the platform that we want to be able to help. And so doing that better in more fulsome ways.
Love it. We'll be watching. Allison Robinson, thank you for joining us on the Motherly Podcast.
Liz, thank you so much. This was an absolute pleasure.
Well, that's it for our episode this week. Thank you so much, Allison. And thanks to our listeners for tuning into our podcast. We will be back next week with another great guest. You don't want to miss it. As always, we would love it if you spread the word about the Motherly Podcast. So if you can right now, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Leaving a review takes no more than 30 seconds, but it really helps other people discover our show. And I read all of your feedback. The Motherly Podcast is produced by Jennifer Bassett, with audio editing from Joel Edinburgh. Our associate producer is Olivia Hendrickson. Our music is from the Blue Dot Sessions. I'm your host, Liz Tennedy. Thank you so much for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.